Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us today. We're going to talk about some of the troubles around the world with natural disasters, lots of hurricanes and earthquakes lately, and Catholic Relief Services does a terrific job of helping out in relief situations. Deacon John Devlin, who is a global fellow for Catholic Relief Services, joins us this morning for the interview to help us understand some of the work that they are doing, both in relief and in development work in countries where there is such great need. Gene Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday. Brianna Wingen with the first and second reading, Father Darren Schmidt with the gospel.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call him while he is near. Let the scoundrel forsake his way, and the wicked his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord for mercy, to our God who is generous and forgiving. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me life is Christ, and death is gain. If I go on living in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I shall choose. I am caught between the two. I long to depart this life and to be with Christ, for that is far better. Yet that I remain in the flesh is more necessary for your benefit. Only conduct yourselves in a way worthy of the gospel of Christ. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at dawn to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Going out about 9 o'clock, the landowner saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You too go into my vineyard, and I will give you what is just." So they went off. And he went out again around noon, and around 3 o'clock, and did likewise. Going out about 5 o'clock, the landowner found others standing around and said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They answered, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You too go into my vineyard." When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first." When those who had started about 5 o'clock came, each received the usual daily wage. So when the first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also got the usual wage. And on receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last ones worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who bore the day's burden and the heat." He said to one of them in reply, "My friend, I am not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous? Thus the last will be first, and the first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. The news this morning, Presentation Sisters from around the world gathered recently in Brookings. 55 Presentation Sisters traveled from as near as Sioux Falls and as far away as Africa to take part in a three-day gathering of sisters with energy and vision for the Presentation mission and charism for the next few decades. While each of the seven congregations that make up the Conference of Presentation Sisters was represented, the group also welcomed sisters from Ireland, Zambia, and Zimbabwe, which brought a more global perspective to the worldwide mission of the congregation. You can read and see more about the Presentation Sisters in that meeting in the September edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, the head of the Pontifical Council for Promoting the New Evangelization said Catholics need a profound renewal of our catechesis. Archbishop Rino Fisichella told dozens of religious sisters, mostly teachers of the faith, gathered in Northwest Chicago recently that there is wrong thinking among the faithful that once they receive the sacraments, they no longer have to learn their catechism. He said, by its nature, catechesis is to support believers to understand every day more the mystery of faith. Archbishop Fisichella said Catholics could learn this with the help of catechists who are witnesses, and said that witness is the sign of a genuine work of evangelization. Referring to Pope Paul VI's 1975 apostolic exhortation on evangelization, the prelate emphasized what he called a very important section of the document that said people nowadays are more apt to listen to someone who lives out the faith and speaks of it than to teachers of it, and that if they do listen to teachers, it's because the teachers are themselves witnesses of the faith. The world of today needs witnesses, he said, and we have got to be there. But don't misunderstand the word witness. It is true that witness it makes first of all our life, but to be a witness, it means also to be a preacher of the word of the Lord. When Francis F.X. Giacchicco began his lawn mowing business in May, the 11-year-old saw beyond the possibility of making enough money to buy a Lego set or a new telephone. He saw an opportunity. I always wanted to meet the president, but I also wanted to mow somewhere that's not a normal place, he said. So he wrote a letter to the White House asking for a chance to show the country what a kid his age could do. Francis mowed the lawn of the Rose Garden recently, maintaining his concentration even as cameras flashed and the president himself came to check on the young man's progress. On behalf of Melania and myself, thank you for doing a great job this morning. National Park Service gives you an A+, President Donald Trump tweeted. Later that day, Francis and his father Greg toured the White House, visiting the Oval Office, the library, and scorch marks from the War of 1812, the youngster said. Francis is homeschooled and the oldest of four children. For the past 3 years, he's been an altar server at St. James Church in Falls Church, Virginia. Jason Landon came to Boys Town about 5 years ago with hopes of improving his life. He never envisioned himself, however, becoming mayor of Boys Town. But that's exactly what the native of Laredo, Texas, did this year after campaigning for the position. I wanted to bring more recognition to some of the activities that I feel are important, such as the sport of cross country, said Landon, who is 17. And now I have the opportunity to help out and be part of something bigger than me, he told the Catholic Voice, newspaper of the Archdiocese of Omaha. The mayoral election takes place every March, with each mayor serving a one-year term. The mayor serves as a great representative of Boys Town, but has little decision-making power, said Kara Neuwirth, Director of Media Relations, Marketing, and Communications for Boys Town. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Thank you, Gene. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Deacon John Devlin, who is, in addition to his work in the Diocese of Sioux Falls and St. Michael's Parish in particular, is also a global fellow for Catholic Relief Services. And that's the reason we have Deacon John with us today, because, there's so much going on around the world again, and so many opportunities for people to be able to do some good. And maybe we can talk about some of that.
There sure are, Jerry. I was just mentioning to you that the CRS, Catholic Relief Services, sends out a global update now and then, roughly once a month, but yep. Somewhere in that neighborhood. And I just received the largest one they've ever sent out since I've been receiving them. It's 16 pages long and has updates on all of the work they're doing in South America, in Eastern Europe, in Asia, and in Africa. Just an incredible amount of troubles and problems out there in the world.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. And you mentioned one of the things actually we wanted to talk about this morning was the earthquake in Mexico, mm-hmm. because I know people are concerned about how they can maybe help with that. And that didn't even make the list.
No, it didn't even make the list. It was. It's still, of course, a place where Catholic Relief Services is responding to the needs in the area. One of the things that in many of their global updates that we don't even think about, at least I don't think about, is they are have become almost experts at the burial of bodies.
Wow.
Because there's always lots of people who lose their lives in these situations.
And oh, my goodness.
Of course, it's important that things are handled quickly to prevent diseases and things like that, but also in a respectful, dignified
right.
way. And that's what they're out there doing, besides their relief work of providing, getting water, food, emergency shelters, and all those other things. They have to respond to the other need.
You're absolutely right. Well. I would never have thought of that, but it makes sense that they would have become quite adept at dealing with that. Let's talk just a little bit. I don't know if you really have a lot of information about Mexico, but maybe we can do that in conjunction with some of the work that I'm guessing they're also doing in the Caribbean, where some of the hurricane activity has happened. And the reason I want to talk about that first is that the bishops and our bishop in particular, has authorized another second collection to help support some of that work in our diocese.
Yes, the first collection for the...
That was for Harvey.
Hurricane Harvey in Houston and Galveston and that area was, I think, mainly going to the diocese in that area, but also was going through some of it going through Catholic Charities,
right.
which is the bishop's charitable arm within the United States. With Irma, there was much destruction in especially some of the smaller Caribbean islands, just right. almost completely wiped off of any structures at all and any infrastructure of electricity, clean water. All those things we take for granted are gone. And so Catholic Relief Services is in all of those countries and islands now trying to assist in the relief.
And as you and I are talking, another hurricane is going through some of those areas again. Hurricane Maria is going through there. And so there's going to be additional need, additional opportunities, maybe we should say, for help.
Yes. Catholic Relief Services currently spends almost half of their budget on relief work, responding to these types of situations where there's an immediate dire need for basic services. And so that's where much of their budget goes. I've been to Baltimore, and I'm going again this year to talk to the people there. And of course, they're almost experts in the field of relief work. But where they really like to do their work is wish there wasn't so much relief work out there, and they could spend more of it on development, which has really is an area that has matured greatly with Catholic Relief Services, especially over the last several years.
Yeah, we will definitely talk about that, because I think that's really an important piece of what they're doing in Mexico. I know. I think about when we have destruction here. We think about when we have a problem here and what it takes to recover. If you have a house fire, or if you have a tornado that comes through, and we know what it takes. But you go to a place where they have no assets to begin with, and then you take away what little they have. How do you even start to rebuild?
Yeah, they don't have what we think of. You don't call up your insurance guy and say, gee, I had a little problem here. You have to just do it. It's on you to figure things out for yourself and to rely on the assistance mostly of relief agencies, Catholic Relief Services being the biggest one out there in those areas, to try to help put you back together after a tragedy like that, to get your house or some sort of a shelter back for you, and then to for immediate needs, and then to work toward a longer-term solution at the same time.
So great opportunity if people are at all inclined. And, you know, we're just about to get to the month where we say Respect Life Month. Boy, this would be a true way, in the broadest sense, to be very respectful of life by helping out some of these people.
Certainly is. When I was in Baltimore last month, the president, Sean Callahan, told us a story about a woman on their board who... He said he was didn't know her well, so he didn't know what she was going to say when she finally stood up to speak, and he was a little afraid of it.
Yeah.
But they had been talking about some of this relief work that they had been doing in all of the areas that were affected at that time, especially in the response to the refugee crisis in Africa and in Syria. and how that's affected Western Europe and many of the other things they were doing. And this woman stood up and said, you know, she says, this is the most pro-life organization I've ever been involved with.
Yeah.
Because of their great respect for life, the dignity of every human person and the response they have to their needs is pretty incredible, humbling for us to be a part of that.
Yeah, I think that's true. And it is absolutely an operation of the bishops of this country. As you mentioned, Catholic Charities on the domestic side, Catholic Relief Services around the world, trying to address some of the global issues. Let's talk a little bit about that development side, John, because I think that's often maybe misunderstood. People don't really quite get what that's about. There's a lot of humanitarian efforts around the world. This is very different than that, and I want to make sure people understand the difference. It's not just giving something to somebody. It's trying to help them raise themselves up. Am I saying that right?
Very much so, and that's where Catholic Relief Service has really, over the past 10, 12, 15 years, really changed their look at how they do development work in countries, in all of the places they are, because their tactics or their methods before were more like, well, we know what you need.
Yeah.
We're going to come in and make sure you get it.
Yeah.
Now they've totally turned away from that, and their development work now centers around conversation with the organizations within the country, the tribes or cities or villages, however they are organized, to find out, okay, what is it that these people are telling us their greatest need is and where they really need some help, and then going in and working with them in that way so that there can be a sustainable development economically, that will be a good source of work and food for the people for years to come, and not just a Band-Aid on a temporary situation.
It's a very different approach than if you're any kind of student of history, you understand about colonialism and what happened with places that were, in a sense, colonized and stripped of their natural resources in many cases, or imposed upon, all kinds of things that happened with that. This is really in stark contrast to that.
Yes, it's just the opposite. And they have, like I said, they've been out there for 74 years now and have learned some pretty hard lessons over that time, good and bad. And this is one where they have finally come to realize that they have to respond to the needs that they're told people have, rather than going in like the experts on everything and saying, this is what we're going to give you because we know better than you.
Yeah.
The people in the area know what they need, and that's the total tactic that Catholic Relief Services relies on now in their development assistance.
There's some of the things in the report that you received that you want to make sure and highlight for people to understand today?
Well, one of the ones that I suppose I imagine most people have heard it about in the news, but it's not so much in the news cycle anymore, is Venezuela in South America and the total destruction of the economic system.
Yeah, just chaos.
That has happened there. There is a situation of hyperinflation that has affected, especially, of course, the poorest of the poor in those areas. They have no resources and no way they could ever put together the resources to go even and purchase small amounts of food anymore because of what has happened to their economic system in those areas. Besides all of that, there is a conflict and some violence happening, which has displaced many people from their villages and homes. And so trying to assist people in dealing with all of that has really become a priority in Venezuela. The Syria thing unfortunately, just isn't going away.
Yeah.
More and more refugees constantly flowing out
still,
of that area.
So we haven't, we don't hear as much about that these days, but it's still happening, apparently.
It's still happening because there's millions of people who have been displaced, no way of knowing exactly how many, and a couple of million people have already left Syria. Syria has lost half of its population to either people emigrating or to death in the war that is going on there. So there, but as they've learned over the years, is that there's many people who are displaced within Syria, who aren't in the places where they want to be in their homes, and now they've just decided it's time to leave because they can't get the resources and assistance they need there, so they're taking off now too.
What do they? What can CRS possibly do at this point? Obviously, it's probably still not safe in certain places. You can't really move people back at this point. So it's really tending to them in the camps, I suppose, huh?
Yes, it's mostly tending to people in refugee camps and trying to their best to assist them in getting out of those camps and into places, hopefully as close to their homeland as possible. The country of Jordan has taken 600,000 Syrian refugees.
Wow. Not a big country.
Their population is 3 million.
Yeah.
And they've taken 600,000 people in. The countries around haven't been quite as generous as that. But the European countries have taken many. Now, there's been lots of different reports on how that's all working. But Europe has responded quite generously to the Syrian refugee problem. Unfortunately, hasn't always happened in the United States that way, but they are trying their best to get people out of those refugee camps because they're just not any place to exist long term.
No, they're not meant for that.
Right. Yeah. One of the statistics that comes out of Catholic Relief Services surprised me was the fact that the person who is a refugee, the average person who is a refugee, is one for 17 years before they can ever get back to their homeland. And most people, that's where they want to go.
Of course.
Yeah, you know, we may think, well, gee, who would want to go back there? But for them,
that's home.
That's home. This is where they were born and raised, and this is where they have their roots, their culture, their language, everything is there, and they want to go back.
17 years.
Yeah, an average of 17 years before most people can get back. The other refugee crisis, which has actually now just as large as the Syrian one, is South Sudan, Many of those people are leaving because of the violence in the area. There's quite a lot of religious persecution, political idealism that has driven many people out of South Sudan. Over 1 million have gone to Uganda. And Uganda has no way of taking care of these people. They have their own issues and their own problems. And now they have 1 million South Sudanese people there. Ethiopia and Kenya are both dealing with drought and food crises, problems of their own. So they can't help either. So CRS is setting up all sorts of camps and trying to get the proper resources in. But it's a dangerous job getting that stuff across some of those lands and countries just because of the situations, the political and military things that are going on.
Such a confluence of things that creates these problems, both the political and then the natural with drought and so forth.
Right.
Makes it very difficult, I would imagine.
The other one that I don't know that I've heard of it anywhere except from Catholic Relief Services, but I'm not a big listener to the news, so maybe I missed it, but is the problem they're having in Yemen right now. Yemen is experiencing a civil war where thousands of people have been killed. But besides that, because of this civil war that's going on, most government resources are now gone, and all of the people who, say, worked at the water treatment plants are no longer there anymore, so the water is not getting treated.
So the infrastructure
so falls
apart.
It's amazing what happens in war and conflict.
Yeah.
Now they have, so far, 425,000 cases of cholera in Yemen. They have 2,000 deaths from cholera so far and expect many, many more because the medical community and infrastructure that was there is all gone now, too. So there's no way to get these people treated except through the relief agencies that are coming in and doing their best to set up tents and things with doctors available.
John, we've got maybe about 3 minutes, a little bit less than 3 minutes left this morning. There's a lot here, and it's hard to hear some of it. It really is. Where's the hope? Where do we? How do we help people to understand that that as Christians, is our responsibility to help our brothers and sisters, that there's hope in that?
My hope comes truly from my attachment to Catholic Relief Services because of the hope that they bring to people. Now we can't, not one of us could go out and be effective as a worker in any of these places because we don't know the language, we don't know the culture, but that's what agencies like CRS are for. They have well-trained staff. They use people from the countries they work in to try and assist them as well because they understand how things work in those areas. They bring hope to people in the worst situations of their lives. That's where, at least for me, those attachments to places, people like Catholic Relief Services doing incredible work out in the world.
We know more than we used to. I mean, we just have to admit that. Right. If we live in a global world, we know more than we used to, and sometimes it is hard to hear it all. But it also gives us, now that we know it, it gives us some sense of what is our obligation as Christians to help out.
Right. Certainly, there's problems in the United States that we need to be aware of. But I don't think there's anything like what is going on in the world that is happening right in our country. Out in the world, there are just horrid problems that need to be dealt with, and we need to step up and do whatever we can to share the resources God has given us.
We mentioned opportunity for second collection that'll go specifically to help some of those disasters that have happened recently. Beyond that, is the best thing just to go to crs.org?
crs.org, of course, like any good agency, they've got a place right there to click to donate, and you can be assured that at least 94% of what you give goes right to services. They don't spend lots of money on administration and fundraising. It goes to where it needs to be.
It's well used.
Yes.
It's very well used. Deacon John Devlin with us this morning. He's a global fellow for Catholic Relief Services, along with being a deacon for the Diocese of Sioux Falls. Thanks so much.
Yep. Thank you, Jerry.
That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back next Sunday.